Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon presented his budget to the legislature's Joint Appropriations Committee this week, and it did not feature massive budget cuts some were predicting due to a downturn in revenue. The governor joins us to discuss his strategy along with some other topics.
Looking at the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group, the CREG, and their estimates going forward, looking at our situation as it presents itself today, we were, somewhat surprised to see that we could fund the standard budget. In my view, it is something that we need to carefully consider where the cuts are going to be made. That's one reason why we had set up the Power Wyoming group to help model this so that citizens of Wyoming can understand exactly what a cut here might mean. Our budget is so complicated at this point that there are federal matches, there are off general fund appropriations, their authorizations, and a number of other things. And it's a little hard for the sort of uninitiated, to really understand exactly what that means for the budget. So my view was, let's build a budget where we have the standard budget handled. If we have to make programmatic cuts, we'll make those, but we'll make those in a discerning, thoughtful way. And you did notice that I did make a substantial amount of cuts to the recommendations on capital construction. We also cut back a bit on our maintenance program. I don't feel good about that, but that gave us a little bit more headroom. It's important, I think, as we go forward, that we are able to maintain those things that we build.
Your Power Wyoming, you mentioned it. I suppose I better have you explain to the audience a little bit about what you're talking about, because you talk about it every day, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners aren't familiar with it. This is actually where you'd actually go through, and I find this so weird, Governor, you want to actually study things and find out what the impacts are. That's not how government works.
No, actually, it's all part of the transparency initiative that we have. And using the Power Wyoming modeling, It's a group of people. There's some legislators and folks from the university and others coming together to really model what happens with our budget as it goes forward. A lot of this came as an offshoot of my time at the Treasurer's office, and I have to thank former legislator Mike Madden and Senator Cale Case, for recommending that when the Treasurer gives money to new enterprises, that we actually stand up and look at what the benefit and the cost of that new enterprise is. And so taking from that, we just expanded it out. And this group released their initial study, and it's a modeling effort. It's not a prediction of the future. It's just a sense of where we're going. And the whole hope was to make things very transparent.
The way it's typically done, as you well know, is I come up with a great idea during the legislative session. I come up with an idea to cut breast cancer funding or something like that, $750,000, I believe what the number was last year, without really any study. And we vote it up or we vote it down. How do you stop that from happening and let them let your system work?
Well, I'm not sure it will stop it from happening, but at least we'll be better informed, and the people of Wyoming will be better informed about what these cuts actually mean. I've talked over and over again about one of the places that we're going to see that is in the gap in funding that we have in road construction. And I've asked Director Reiner to really start to prioritize where these roads are. And it is funny, because I've heard from constituents around the state things like, well, there's nothing wrong with dirt roads, my gosh, what are we going to do to fund the infrastructure we have going forward? And I think roads are a really good place to really examine the issue, because as you know, there's a lot of effort to try to bring more electric cars to the roads as carbon-free, carbon-neutral kinds of things, a lot of Teslas and other things. And those cars don't pay the taxes that help support the Highway Trust Fund nationally. So our funding is going to be more of an issue there. So that's an example.
Visiting today with Governor Mark Gordon. Governor, the thing that I'm hearing about all summer long and all fall long is we've got to come back in and cut education. This has been something that's been growing, and we're at the point, I heard Dan Dockstader during your forum recently to say he's already traveled to school districts to tell them they're going to get a lot less money. You have experts, you have people around you that say, hey, if you do this, this could happen, meaning lawsuit. Can we really cut much out of education?
Well, there is that view that often is put forward that the Supreme Court opined on this, and when they opined, they said there's no way you can cut it. I don't really read it quite the same way. I think the Supreme Court would have not said you need to fund education to all extents at all times. I think there has been some effort to try to figure out ways to bring more accountability to the education system. There's been discussions about reducing the number of districts, what local control actually means. The Efficiency Project talked about some opportunities there. We need to work those. We need to see if there are some places that we can make some adjustments. I don't know as though we aren't going to have to make some cuts down the road. But as I said, in this particular time with the ECA, it was something that was fairly mandated. Why go to war before you really know where your ducks are?
One of the things I thought I read that you alluded to, and I wanted to ask you about this, is I hear this from time to time. You know, we settled on a model. It's probably still not as cost-based as we would like, and maybe it's you could go in there and take the existing money you have, sort of reallocate some of it. Argument might be that there are a small school district or two that's got a little bit more than Cheyenne or Casper. Is that what you're talking about, and is that something that you would support doing?
I think we need to look really broadly across. I'm not sure it's just little districts. I mean, there, as I look at having traveled the state as much as I have, I think there are some districts that have schools that have lots of space allocation. Maybe, you know, they got a little bit more than they needed. There are some small schools. I know one really close to home, Claremont, that's very high in cost. And so I think as we look at this and start to think about how we can bring a little more standardization to the process, there may be some savings there. I don't think it's a silver bullet. I think cost of education is going up. The cost of making sure that our kids are safe, and that's an added cost we didn't really anticipate back in the day. Those things are going to be expensive. I think it's going to be a long discussion.
Governor, I was curious if you could talk a little bit about healthcare and what you've maybe learned in the last year that maybe you weren't realizing or paying that close attention to in your previous jobs. But where do you see things in the state as problematic, and do you see solutions out there anytime soon?
Healthcare is certainly one of the biggest challenges facing our nation. Just no surprise there. I come from a family with a lot of doctors and other medical related fields in it, and you know, to almost to a person, they said, you know, who would take as complex a system as we have with medicine in the United States, throw it all up in the air, build a whole new plan, the ACA, and impose it, not, you know, expect some problems to come from that. And I think we've seen that. In Wyoming specifically, as Bob, I think you have alluded to, you know, we've been struggling with this for some time. We've been trying to figure out ways that we don't bleed our care off into neighboring states. Our costs are extremely high. Our population is getting to an age where it's going to require more and more care. That care is much more expensive. All of these things are pretty daunting. Do I see a solution? Not presently, but I have hope. I really do. I think that there are some things that having a small population might allow us to do. To be pretty novel. You know, when we talk about telehealth, for example, you know, what is the way that we can deploy telehealth in a mechanism that's both cost efficient and also has a human face to it? What are the things that we can do to build out our care givers so that we have more skilled individuals willing to take that on? And then how are the ways we can support that? So with Mike Ceballos at the helm of the Department of Health, you know, we now have a way to work with our Senate to try to figure out if there are some ways forward in the existing structure. And I've said this ever since I ran for governor, I'm open to all kinds of solutions.
I want to change gears, and maybe in the final couple of minutes we have, I want to ask you about taxes. You don't like taxes. You've said that, and so we'll jump past that. You would support a tax if.
I don't think anybody likes taxes. Taxes are the way that normally you fund your government. And this morning I was saying, you know, it's interesting to me. Last year there were two polls, one that said, I'd be willing to pay more taxes for education. And the second one said, okay, which of the taxes is it? Is it your property tax or your sales tax you'd like to pay more? And most people said, oh, no, neither one of those. We think that the energy industry should be taxing. So the reason we set up Power Wyoming, that study, really was in part to say, look, this is what's going to happen to our tax base. These are the services we want to have. How do we fund that? Now, that does not mean we go raising taxes willy-nilly. It does mean that we are so top-heavy towards the mineral industry that not only do we perhaps cause them to be less competitive, but perhaps we also put ourselves at a real vulnerability. And we've seen that 2016, 2000, actually 82,000 and others. We've seen some of these big changes that have really affected our budget. So diversifying that is something that I want to do. I don't think we can do that piecemeal. I think we need to have a robust conversation about how we're going to fund our state. What are the things that we can handle and what are the things that we cannot?
Because one of the frustrations I've had is we've never had a good conversation in our state on what services we really want to offer, and then taken a look at the price tag and then said, well, this is what we need. It's for four years, Governor, we've had this conversation about revenue, and we go, oh, what would the sales tax do to everybody? What do you have to say? And we never really come up with a plan.
No, I think that's exactly right, and I'm really committed. It may not be the best idea, but I am committed to actually moving that conversation beyond, well, we just escaped it another year. You know, that kicking the can down the road that we've done the last 4 years, I don't think does a great service to the people of Wyoming, and I just know that Wyoming government is better than that. I think we need to have a really good, long conversation about what the price tag on these things are, how we're going to fund it. And I don't think that we can do this by what tax loopholes are we going to reduce, what taxes are we going to increase. I think we have to look at it comprehensively.
Governor Gordon, Merry Christmas and thank you.
Well, thank you and Merry Christmas to you and everyone else.